Welcome to God's Truth for Our Times, brought to you by Bethany Bible Church of Lake Havasu City, with the in-depth Bible teaching of Pastor Dennis McBride. No matter what circumstances you may be facing today, knowing God's Word will enable you to see those circumstances through His eyes and will help you respond in ways that please Him. With that purpose in mind, listen now as Pastor Dennis presents another message from God's Truth for Our Times.
Please open in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. And I've titled this message, How to Deal with the Devil. How to deal with the devil. Now someone might say, I don't want to deal with the devil. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I want to focus on Jesus. And although I understand the desire not to have to deal with the devil, the fact is that throughout the New Testament, the Christian life is defined as spiritual warfare. And as any well-trained combatant will tell you, you must understand your opponent accurately before you can engage him successfully. There are many books and other resources that tell us how to deal with the adversary, and some are helpful, others are not. I've seen some preachers on television stomping back and forth on the platform, yelling at the top of their lungs, "Take that, Satan! I bind you, Satan! I step on your neck, Satan! You're under my foot, Satan!" And while such antics may be well-intended, they are not helpful at all. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter speaks of men who are, and I quote here, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. And then Jude chapter 1 verse 9 adds that not even Michael the archangel dared to pronounce a railing judgment against the devil, but instead said to him, "The Lord rebuke you." And the point is, we need to be very careful in how we approach the enemy, how we speak of the enemy. We want to be biblical in our thinking and in our conduct and in our defense against our enemy, but we don't want to go beyond Scripture. And our passage for this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5, specifically verses 8 through 11, gives us biblical counsel on how to deal with the devil. So follow along, please, as I read. Peter says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." How then do we deal with the devil? Peter gives us four specific strategies. We will look at two of them this morning, and then next week we will finish with the other two. Peter says, first of all, in verse 8, be of sober spirit. This is a significant admonition by Peter, and he uses it elsewhere. In chapter 1, he says, keep sober in spirit. In chapter 4, he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And the word translated sober in each of those passages literally means self-control, and with it, clarity of mind. Complete clarity of mind and its resulting good judgment is what Peter is calling us to. Be of sober spirit. Peter could be using sober as a metaphor or a word picture for intoxication and saying, in effect, don't become intoxicated by the world's sins or by the world's distractions or by the sufferings that you are undergoing. And incidentally, the audience to which Peter is writing were under persecution, and Peter knew that the persecution would soon escalate under Emperor Nero. And so he's preparing his readers for that eventuality. Be of sober spirit. Don't let the distractions of your suffering cause you to lose good judgment. You see, persecution and other trials can distort our focus, and they can cause us to stray from proper thinking. We can become so intoxicated by our circumstances that we lose sight of their purpose in refining our character and strengthening our faith, which is always God's purpose in allowing His children to undergo persecution or various other trials. However, a prepared and a sober mind is attuned to the spiritual climate around it. It's not easily caught off guard by circumstances or the schemes of the evil one. In other words, to think sober-mindedly is to think clearly, decisively, to think biblically. Because dealing with the devil is not a time for speculation or for imagination or for misinformation. We need to think properly. And we need to think with self-control and clarity of mind and biblical principles. So Peter says, be sober. That's our first strategy. Secondly, be alert. And this is verse 8 again. Be on the alert. And alert here means to be watchful, to be vigilant. In other words, stay awake. Our enemy can be so subtle. He's a master at eroding truth and exalting error in ways that those lacking vigilance and lacking discernment sometimes don't even see coming and don't even understand until it's too late. Peter says to be sober and to be alert because your adversary, verse 8, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter calls him our adversary, and that was used of a hostile legal opponent or of an enemy. And that is certainly true of the devil, Diabolos, the slanderer. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Peter understood that. Peter understood that firsthand. In Luke chapter 22, for example, verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus forewarned Peter. He was going to be sifted like wheat. And we see it in the text of Scripture as Peter, who loved the Lord dearly, denied him three times, denied him with profanity, and then was so greatly grieved at his own sin. And yet Jesus restored him. And he said, Peter, you're going to be sifted, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, in other words, when you have repented, when you have been restored, you strengthen your brothers. Yes, Peter knew firsthand what it meant to be attacked viciously by that roaring lion. And so he describes him as the one who seeks to devour you. To devour you, not merely to distract you, not merely to impede you, not merely to harm you, but to destroy you, to nullify your testimony, to cause you spiritual grief, to cause you to sin against the one whom you love, the God who redeemed you. He's always at it. He's always seeking to devour believers. How does he do that? What is his strategy? I'm going to give you several points of his strategy, and this should be very helpful to you because, again, the more you know about your opponent, the better equipped you are to defend yourself against that opponent. So what is the strategy of this opponent? What is the strategy of our great adversary, the devil? First of all, he defies God's rule. This is his attitude. This is what he's all about. He defies God's rule. He's the usurper who does all in his power to topple God's kingdom and to destroy God's people. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. He is the ruler of this world. He is the usurper of God's creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul calls him the God of this world. And of course, that's God with a little g, not the God, but the God whom the evil world system worships. Paul says there in verses 3 and 4, And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, our adversary has built an evil world system through which he seeks to devour you. The Apostle John describes that evil world system for us in 1 John chapter 2, where he says, Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Your adversary seeks to devour you by defying God's rule and devising an evil world system that is set against God and set against his people and therefore set against you personally. Secondly, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come and knock on your door and say, I'm here to deceive you. No, he knocks on your door and says, I'm here with the truth. I'm here to help you get right with God. But his is a domain of darkness, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Your adversary, the devil, is from the domain of darkness. His is the domain of darkness, but he disguises himself as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of those who come with a false gospel and says of them, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. So our adversary defies God's rule, and he disguises himself as an angel of light. And then thirdly, he deploys demonic forces and false prophets. And perhaps as many as a third of the angels followed Satan in his rebellion and were cast out of heaven with him. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we read that there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and the dragon there is Satan himself. So we have demonic forces in the world that are set against God's rule and set against God's people, and then we have false prophets who are propagating the deceitful doctrines of Satan's satanic system. In 1 John chapter 4, John says this, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard it is coming, and now it is already in the world. And then in 2 John verse 7, For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. You see, Satan knows that the only hope of salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And so one of his cardinal doctrines is to deny that Jesus Christ is God come in human flesh. And many people will say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But not everyone will say that I believe that Jesus is God the Son. And the deceivers that go out into the world to propagate damning error are those who deny that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, God in human flesh. So Satan defies God's rule, disguises himself as an angel of light, deploys demonic forces and false prophets, and then fourthly, he deceives the world. He has created his own world of unbelievers, and he has done that through deception. He deceives them, and he attempts to deceive all of the elect as well. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Satan took control of the world through deception way back in Genesis chapter 3, and he continues to this day to be the deceiver of the world. And then he dispenses doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan dispenses the doctrines of demons. I'll give you an example of that. This is going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Paul says, If anyone comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. And he's being sarcastic there. Paul was deeply concerned about the Corinthian believers, and he said, You're tolerating false doctrine. You're not discerning. So if anyone comes and preaches another Jesus, or brings a different spirit, or a different gospel, they're deceivers. He gives a similar admonition to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. He says, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disrupting you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be under the divine curse, under divine judgment." In other words, don't tamper with the gospel. There are many today who come with false gospels. There may be a little bit of truth, but when it comes to Jesus Christ and the message of redemption, they are wrong. And they bring another Jesus, another spirit, and they proclaim another gospel. Beware. Be discerning. Be alert, Peter says. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, wants to devour you, and he will do it primarily through false doctrine. Because he defies God's rule, he disguises himself as an angel of light, he deploys demonic forces and false prophets, he deceives the world, he dispenses doctrines of demons, and then sixthly, he disputes, distorts, and denies God's word. His attack will always be on the inspired word of God, the authoritative word of God, and that's why we must cling tenaciously to God's revealed truth. He will dispute it, he will distort it, and he will deny it. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, in his temptation of Eve. Has God really said, "You surely shall not die"? God knows that when you eat it, you will be like him, knowing good from evil. See the distortion, the denial? And we can add to that number 7, he denigrates God's character. He denigrates God's character. You see, God is withholding from you. God doesn't want the best for you. He wants to keep it for himself. But you listen to me. You follow what I say, and you're going to know what God knows, and you're going to be like God. He denigrates. He puts down. He speaks against God's character. And then number 8, he darkens the minds of unbelievers. He darkens the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." He darkens the minds of unbelievers. You see, and that's why we have to pray for unbelievers. We have to pray that God will bombard the darkness and will dispel the errors and will flood the unbeliever with repentance and with grace and with truth, and to bring them alive spiritually so they can respond to the gospel that Satan himself is trying to veil. Evangelism is intense spiritual warfare. And Satan darkens the minds of unbelievers. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, when the Lord commissioned Paul on the road to Damascus, he said this, "I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." And then he made Paul a living illustration by blinding him, until Ananias prayed for him and the scales fell off of his eyes, and he was Paul the apostle sent to proclaim the truth of the very one whom he had been persecuting. Well, Satan's ninth strategy, he deceives some hearers of the gospel. He deceives, D-E-S-E-E-D-S. Matthew 13, verses 18 and 19, the parable of the seeds and the sower. Jesus said, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." Satan comes along and snatches that seed, deceives the planting. And when Jesus said they don't understand it, it wasn't because of an inadequate or unclear presentation, but it was due to a non-receptive heart. Those who hear but do not believe. Those who hear but do not receive. The seed is sown, and it may be sown faithfully, and yet Satan is there to pluck it up. Number 10 of Satan's strategies, he denounces believers. He denounces believers. He denounces people to God just as he denounces God to people. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. He denounces believers. He constantly accuses believers. He is true to his name. He is the devil. He is the slanderer. He is Satan, the adversary. But with all of that, with the strength of all that he brings against God and against God's people, we can take heart because there is victory. I call your attention to Romans 8, 31 and following. Who shall bring an accusation against the elect? In other words, who's going to bring an accusation against God's children that can stick? We've already seen that Satan continually brings accusations. Well, God, how can you save that person? Look how weak they are. Look, they just sinned again. And Paul says, who's going to bring an accusation against the elect? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know that the Christ who saved you keeps you? And even the accusations of Satan fall on deaf ears because Christ bore your sin and your guilt? The Lord is our defense. The Lord is our shield. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who intercedes for us. He's the one who was raised from the dead to conquer sin. And he's the one who was put to death on the cross to take your sins upon himself. Let me just say that if you are here this morning and you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not come to the point of repentance, of turning from your sin and turning to Christ and embracing him for who he is and asking him to forgive your sins and committing your life to serving him, I plead with you to bow the knee of your heart to Jesus Christ, who is Lord and who is God and who will rescue you from the domain of darkness and transfer you into the kingdom of his love. Now here's the final truth. Even though Satan, with all of his might and all of his demonic forces and all of his evil world system, even though he defies God's rule and disguises himself as an angel of light and deploys his demonic forces and false prophets throughout the world, and even though he deceives the world and dispenses doctrines of demons and disputes, distorts, and denies God's word and denigrates God's character, and even though he darkens the minds of unbelievers and deceives some hearers of the gospel and denounces believers, accusing them constantly before the Father, he is, number 11, desperate and doomed, and he knows it. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, God says to him, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. In Matthew 25, 41, Jesus says, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And John 12, 31, now judgment is upon this world, now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And 1 John 3, 8, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then one final verse of victory, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown down into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So he's doomed. and he knows it, and therefore he's desperate. And that's why he still seeks to devour believers. And that's why Peter warns us, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And that raises the question, how can that apply to believers? Given the fact that the Lord protects all of his children, how can it be that Satan could devour them? Well, we saw in the example of Peter himself. Ultimately, Satan can't devour you spiritually because you belong to Christ. And Peter belonged to Christ, and Christ prayed for him, and Christ restored him. But Peter was tempted and gave in to temptation, just as we can be tempted by Satan himself or by his demonic forces or by the weakness of our own flesh. So we need to be vigilant, and we need to be prayerful, and we need to be alert to the spiritual warfare around us so that we aren't caught off guard and succumb to discouragement and confusion and even sin. And that's why Peter concludes the passage with this: "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that we fight a defeated foe. Father, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be discerning. Help us to be wise. Help us to learn your word so that we are well equipped, not only to fight against the forces of evil, but to advance the kingdom by your power and through the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells us and who empowers us to do that. And Lord, we thank you for the church which you purchased with your own precious blood. Lord, help us to be faithful this day and in the days and weeks ahead. And for that, we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to God's Truth for Our Times with Pastor Dennis McBride. This program has been brought to you by Bethany Bible Church at 1200 Park Terrace Avenue in Lake Havasu City. Pastor Dennis and the entire Bethany Church family invite you to join them for worship each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Their phone number is 928-855-2661. That's 855-2661, or online at bethanyhavasu.org. Be sure to join us again next week at this same time as we continue to grow in the knowledge of God's truth for our times.